What if I were to tell you that the book of Revelation was written for the first generation of believers and written during the first generation of believers, but very applicable and powerful for us? What would you say? Well, we're going to begin an introduction of the book of Revelation and then walk through the entire book today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. That's right, we began today to walk through the book of Revelation. But I'm going to spend a couple of sessions doing an introduction as we move in that direction to kind of set up the scenario of how we want to approach this whole understanding. And I also want to tell you my own story of my process of understanding where we are today. Most of us would have grown up with what is called a dispensational understanding of eschatology. Eschatology meaning the study of last things. So when we come to the book of Revelation, which as the scripture says, that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. It is just that. It is the unveiling. The word revelation means to reveal or to unveil. Unfortunately, the book of Revelation has become sealed. It's scary for some, and it's a covering up, and it's trying to figure it out and what's going to happen in the future. And unfortunately, a lot of new converts go there first to begin to read the book of Revelation, or we become afraid of the book of Revelation because we think it's about beast and antichrist and sort of things rather than about the revealing of Jesus Christ. So you might be hungry to know, why did the early church and why did John, who wrote the book of Revelation, expect people to understand it? And why did they read it on the first day of the week and take communion? What significance did it have on the early church? And I want to share with you some of the things that might help you walk through this process. My own story was, of course, I grew up, like most of us did, as a dispensationalist, because dispensationalism had been made very popular by John Darby in the 1800s. And then when Scofield came out with his reference Bible at the turn of the century in the 1900s, he put in the notes of his Bible, in the margin, the notes of dispensational view. He was very influenced by John Darby, and John Darby had been influenced by a Jesuit priest who had actually begun the theology as a dispensationalist in the 1700s to guard the reformers away, or people who were saying that the Pope was the Antichrist, because they were taking that historical view and seeing the Pope as Antichrist. Really, dispensationalism began to say there was a future Antichrist and took a whole different approach. Well, most of us in the evangelical world grew up with an influence of dispensationalism. So I'm sitting at 16 years old in a parking lot in Altus, Oklahoma, where I'd driven my mom to the grocery store, because when you're 16, you look for every opportunity to drive. And I'm reading Hal Lindsey's book called The Late Great Planet Earth. Now, this is in 1971, and this book had just come out in 1970. So I'm reading there, and I come along a part where he's describing in the book of Revelation of these images that had the face like a man and a sting of a tail like a scorpion. And he says that can be none other than a Cobra helicopter that John was trying to see ahead and just didn't know what it was and described it as he saw it. But it must be a description of our modern warfare. And even some of the destructions that would take place has to be none other than the nuclear war. And when I read that, I remember thinking to myself and said out loud to the Lord, Lord, by what authority do we interpret the book of Revelation? And I laid it down beside me at 16 years old, and I said, I'm going to get some understanding, not knowing it was going to be a lifetime journey of studying the book of Revelation. Just a couple of years later, when I was 18, I was working my way through Bible college, selling books door to door in Michigan. I had two roommates that came to know the Lord during that summer, and they started attending a Bible study, and they brought home some cassettes and pieces of paper, which basically was a post-tribulational view. Now, if you're not familiar with that, in the dispensational view, there are those that Jesus will come back before a seven-year tribulation period, he'll come back in the middle of a seven-year tribulation period, or he'll come back in the end of a tribulation period. Well, in my Bible college group, only you are allowed to believe the pre-tribulation period. And all this falls under dispensationalism, of course, and premillennialism. And so I'm going, well, and I heard that teaching, and I saw some things I'd never seen before. And I became emotional about it because my grandfather played a washboard and he sang about Jesus coming back soon before a tribulation period. So I was conflicted because I love my grandfather. He was a hero of the faith for me. And how could I believe something that he didn't believe? And I discovered something about theology. Most of our theology is based on emotionalism and those kind of connections rather than the real scripture and the interpretation of the scripture. And so I came home that year and went to Bible college, and we had to write a lot of papers during our semester. And I had to write seven papers that year, and I wrote them all on eschatology. And I went to every professor asking them questions and never really got the help. One day in the library there in Southwestern Simsaga Bible College, I ran across a book called The Blessed Hope by George Ladd. And he had put into teaching what those young men were talking about. And he did the work for us. And so basically by the end of that year, I had become a post-tribulationist, believing that Jesus would come back at the end of a seven-year tribulation period. But it was different. And there's three or four of us on campus that had to talk quietly because that might have been considered a heretic if you didn't believe that Jesus was coming back before a tribulation period. So I remember I'd gotten married that year, and I said to my wife in 1975, I said, baby, 10 years from now, I'm going to understand this better. I didn't know I was prophesying, but sure enough, 10 years later, 1985, I was at a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and went into a Christian bookstore, and on the shelf was this book that caught my attention, and it's called Paradise Restored by David Chilton. And I read this book on the way back from Atlanta conference and read the chapter 11 on coming on the clouds. And I read several other chapters that they had there concerning the powers being shaken as he described Matthew 24 and the great tribulation. Things began to be put together for me, and I came home and I knew from that point on I had shifted my understanding to what has become known to me as a partial preterist view. Now, what we're going to share with you as we walk through the book of Revelation is that view, that basically what we see in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, which we've done extensive study on that. And if you're interested, I have a book called Israel and the Kingdom. And you can order that on Amazon, and we can make it available to you as well as we walk through Matthew 24 in description of what Jesus prophesied, that that generation would not pass away till all those things be fulfilled. And what he told them was seven signs. When the disciples said, when shall these things be? He describes a destruction of Jerusalem and gives them seven signs that leads up to the sign, the destruction of Jerusalem. And he says that generation will not pass away, and that those would be the last days of Moses and the beginning of the gospel age of Jesus. Well, if you're interested, you can get more information. But I'm going to take that approach as we walk through the book of Revelation, that Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 is a mini apocalypse of the book of Revelation itself. Now, with this in mind, let me just share with you a couple of principles of interpretation that we want to take. One is contextual interpretation, holding our feet to the fire. That's particularly important when you start walking through these prophetic words, and we do that in this teaching on Israel and the Kingdom. And so I'd encourage you to get that material. In fact, here on this YouTube, you can click on our playlist and we have the teaching there available. So it'd be great for you to walk through that as well It's more extensive than these few minutes, but it'll help you if you're a student of the Word and you want to get in deeper. So that would be what we would use, contextual, keeping the interpretation within the context, not taking it out of context. Then we also want to use a comprehensive, comparative revelation. And what we mean by that is we would like there to be the whole Bible interpreted within the context of the Bible. In other words, if I'm going to find out what stars falling from heaven are, if I'm going to find out with the sun not giving forth its light and the moon not shining, I need to go somewhere in the else in the scriptures and find out what happened there. I want to go over to Isaiah 13. I want to go to Ezekiel 34. I want to go to other passages to see what took place then. Then I have the authority to interpret it within the comprehensive view of the Bible, or letting the scripture interpret the scripture. It's in the scope of it. So I want to compare revelation, let the Bible interpret the Bible. I want a comprehensive revelation, letting the whole Bible interpret the Bible. And then I want to use clear interpretation. Clear meaning let the easy verses help us with the more difficult verses and not the other way around. And then of course, as we've said, the contextual, keeping it within context of what we're saying then. As we walk through the contextual, the clear, the comprehensive, and then also the comparative revelation, I believe you're going to be able to get a better view of what we mean by the preterist or partial preterist view of the book of Revelation. During this teaching, we want to walk through verse by verse. Thank you for taking a moment and letting us give you some introduction. We'll do that as we get started today in the Word.